At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Happy New Year, everyone. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, joined as always by his good friend, the lawyer extraordinaire, my brother in Disney Parks, David Ungar. How are you, Dave?
Oh, good. Happy New Year to you too, sir. For the second day in a row. That's right. Doing well, man. I mean, it's been a fun week for sports on my end. Hey, your Blues.
They lost yesterday to the Columbus Blue Jackets, so we got that goal for us. But they did win the Winter Classic, which is kind of hard to define as a Winter Classic. Somebody put up a good article. Hold on, before we get into all that, welcome everyone into Hockey Talk with Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar, brought to you by the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we've been talking about this before we get started, and we are going to talk hockey. That is part of the show. That is part of the plan. Absolutely. But Dave and I, over the last few weeks, have been having some conversations about the format of the show, what we've been doing and talking about. So I kind of wanted to start today's show by just telling you, dear listener, where Dave and I are going with this program, and that the title Hockey Talk is probably on its last legs, if not coming to an end soon. Now, the reason for that, and to be clear, we still love hockey. We're still going to talk about hockey. But we found, especially as of late, that we kind of just enjoy having 45 minutes to an hour where we talk about sports and sports in general. And I don't know, for me personally, if it's because at the college sport level, I'm in a good place as a University of Illinois fan and wanting to talk about passions. But I've also found that, you know, we have some other sports shows on the Chair Shot Radio Network. You know, it's sports entertainment. We have the Oblong Football or the Oblong Ball podcast, whatever that one, the football one, the NFL one.
That's the weird one.
That's out there that talks about news around sports. There's, you know, there are some occasional rises and falls. But what Dave and I have found, especially over the last few, you know, over the winter holidays, and even in the summer when we would do musical chairs, that one, I personally, and I know Dave, I think, feels similarly, but maybe not quite as strongly, feel like musical chairs has become a little bit more difficult for me to effectively pull bands together and talk about as we've gone through this, as we've kind of hit ones that I really loved and wanted to talk about and have gotten excited about. Plus the way our summer schedules work, we have just done that podcast less and less. And there is one particularly popular, well, to us, a sport going on that we both enjoy, even when our teams are trash, and that is Major League Baseball. And we found ourselves willing to talk about baseball. We found ourselves excited to talk about professional football, college football, for me, college basketball, in addition to hockey, and that there's just kind of a more fruitful podcast there where we have promised PC Tunney we won't change the name of the podcast to Sports Talk. So we jokingly called it Talk Sports, and he gave us like seven different Talk Sports logo. And I'm like, no, I didn't respond, but I'm like, no. I think we can come up with a better name than Talk Sports. But I feel like it's important for us to acknowledge that we're going to start looking at some format changes in the sense of just content and what that content is going to be. And it is going to be a more rounded sports program as opposed to just one that is focused on the NHL and hockey.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've got a bunch of bands lined up I could do for musical chairs. So I mean, that's right. One thing. But I think the whole controversy that we got into on the Spotify thing really kind of guts some of what made musical chairs fun, which was a little previews of songs at the end of this thing that
right.
are just going to get the show kicked off the air now that Spotify are being dicks about it. And that kind of like, well, why? I mean, like, I still would like to do like one, that last episode of Musical Chairs where we cover the Beatles and basically just give a middle finger sure. to Spotify and say, pull it if you want, you know, that sort of thing. But
if we do that in the summer, right? Like, give it enough time to where it's kind of died down.
Yeah, maybe we we'll get away with one last one. But no, I think, you know, sports are year round. We're big sports fans. Like you said, this is no reflection on any sort of lack of interest in hockey because there's plenty of stories going on in hockey right now.
Right.
But sports is a year round thing. It's very rare that, well, it's impossible. It never happens where none of the four major sports are going on, or five, if you want to count the emerging popularity of MLS. Thank you, Messi. that sort of thing. But,
well,
you know, I think there's always stuff to talk about, even if like our teams are habitually, they're trash.
Right. I mean, historically, college football wise, my team is trash. Historically, professional football wise, my team is trash. I don't really follow the NBA. I do follow, everybody knows I'm a big fan of the University of Illinois. I grew up around the University of Illinois. That was what I was raised on. And we've perennially been a strong basketball program. They proved that out this past weekend on, I want to say it was Thursday night. They went into Eugene, Oregon, took on the number 9 Oregon Ducks and put up 109 points on them, beat them by 32. Right. It was a pounding. But
and like, I yeah, just wanted to jump in. Like, I love college sports too. I love college basketball and college football. I don't have a university I'm passionate about like Illinois. Like Maryland was always my team and they still are my team. But, you know, when I moved out to California and, you know, really I spent some time up around the Berkeley area, kind of fell in love with the Cal Golden Bears. And then, you know, had, you know, a friend of mine had season tickets to the UCLA Bruins. So we would go down to the Rose Bowl and watch those games. So it's like, for me, it's like, it's not like the Commanders or the Capitals right. or the Nats or even the Wizards who I'm invested in.
And I think that really kind of we complement each other in that way, because first and foremost for me as a football and basketball fan, I am a college basketball fan. I am a college football fan. I'm extraordinarily passionate about both of those sports and in college basketball in particular, because I've always had a team, generally had a team that was relevant on the national stage at college basketball, you know, lull during the John Gross, Bruce Weber era, notwithstanding, you know, Illinois got Brad Underwood. And as a coach, he's really elevated that program back to the early 2000s, where they're viewed as a legitimate top half of the Big Ten perennial NCAA tournament team. College football, I love college football bowl season. You know, when it comes to professional sports, I'm a Bears fan, but it's hard to be a Bears fan
yeah.
in the NFL when they're the New York Rangers of professional football right now. They're a dumpster fire.
I would say
that the Rangers aren't managed poorly.
Yeah, I wanted to say, like, although, like, I'm not as big a college sports fan as you are, obviously. Honestly, man, the sporting moment that broke my heart as bad as anything is Georgetown, North Carolina championship game where Jordan hits the winning shot and then Freddie Brown throws the ball to James Worthy. Oh my God, that just soul crushed me. for a long time. Right. Even worse than, like, you know, when they lost to Villanova and they had no business. I mean, they lost because Villanova shot 90% from the field. You know, that's the only way.
Right.
That. But I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's funny because for me, it's 1989. It's the University of Illinois 1988-89 Flying Illini team. Was number one in the nation going into the NCAA tournament, gets to the Final Four where they take on Michigan, a team they had beaten twice during the regular season. Michigan was very, very good, you know, coached by Steve Fisher, getting right into this. Like the Fab Four was like next year. It was like the following season, or maybe it was that first season. Illinois is up, and a guy misses a box out on a missed Michigan shot attempt that leads to a putback lay-in and a win. And Michigan goes on to lose in the national championship game, I want to say to like Seton Hall or somebody, a team that Illinois probably boat races. But I'm actually going to look it up.
I think it was Carolina.
Not in 88-89.
No. Seton Hall beat Kansas, I think, for the Natty that year. I don't remember. I kind of remember. The only time Seton Hall's ever been relevant is the Hall.
Basketball championship in 1989.
Yeah, like the Fab Five, they were like the Buffalo Bills of that.
No, I lied. Michigan beat Seton Hall in overtime by a point. They played Seton Hall, but they won it. I thought they lost that game.
But Seton Hall won the title like the next year, right? Or something. I know they won one.
They did, and it was either, it must have been the next year, because the runner-up was Seton Hall. They won over, or they lost. It was their first title game appearance. And their first Final Four appearance when they lost. They won. Oh, no, they've never won an
Okay, so they just got there. Clear.
Now I'm just trying to look. This is the 88-89 Seton Hall men's Pirate basketball. They have won. They made the Elite Eight in 89-91. They won their conference a few times. They were a tournament runner-up in 89. Yeah, they never. It does not appear that they ever won the national title, but they made it to the title game a couple of times. Anyway, it's irrelevant. Basically, the point being here is that, you know, for us, and oh my goodness. Sorry, I just got an update on the UMass women's game they're playing against Richmond after the first quarter. Would you care to venture a guess on the score?
UMass women are playing Richmond?
Yes.
44-13. Let's go something crazy.
All right, that's a little too crazy. Richmond 29, UMass 8 after the first quarter. That game's already over. Anyway, so point being to all of this, everyone, I'm sorry, as we get distracted looking up Seton Hall national title runs.
Never happened, apparently.
We're still gonna talk sports. We're still gonna talk NHL and we're gonna keep talking about Alex Ovechkin because every day he scores.
2002, Maryland beating Indiana. That's a high water mark.
Well, you know, I remember the 2005 Illinois team was the team I thought was going to be the year, and they lose to North Carolina in the national title game because apparently Sean May, every time he shot a basketball, he was fouled. It's the crazy, like Illinois, like the games Illinois has lost in tournament games have been the most hurtful are ones that get kind of crazy. Like there's one we lost famously to Arizona because the officials called 50 plus fouls on Illinois players because of Lute Olson bitching and moaning. And, you know, Ray Cash can be all butthurt over the great Illinois comeback against Arizona in 05, but I'm going to play it every day because fuck that team and fuck that somehow managed to find 50 plus fouls and interject themselves into a game that they had no business interjecting themselves into. And that was the same thing that happened in the national title game, is they fouled out Illinois' center in 7 minutes. Like, how's that even possible? And Sean May's whole game in 05 was get the ball in the post, shove the dude that's guarding him, like fucking like elbow him out of the way. And 9 times out of 10, he would get the call because that was superstar Sean May. He couldn't have possibly cleared space with his elbow. No, James Augustine clearly fouled him. It was, and Illinois still almost came back and won that game on the strength of their guard play because they can make three. Darren Williams, D. Brown, and Luther Head. So yeah, so that's, I guess that's the programming note that we wanted to just kind of get out there to everybody is that this is, you're going to see a title change coming soon. We don't know what it is. We haven't reached that decision. We're probably going to see a little bit of format change. You might see some more guests on the show, and you know, you might see some more PC Tunney on the show, because apparently he wants to do a sports show. Like, he's very, very much wanting to do a sports show. And he has his format ideas. We haven't hammered any of that out. And so right now, just know that you're going to be talking sports with Dave and Patrick. And, you know, let's talk. We do want to talk a little college sports, because here it is. We're recording this. It's January 5th. By the time this hits, it'll be January 7th. The college football playoff is down to 4 teams. We now know that Texas is going to go take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. Or no, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Sorry. And Notre Dame is taking on Penn State, right? I got the bracket right there.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Oregon. Or not Oregon. Texas and OSU.
Yeah, definitely not Oregon. And let's start there. Let's start with what everybody thought was going to be the best game of the playoffs. A game that so many people were like, this should be the final. And I still don't think that's an invalid argument. Nobody in a million years saw Oregon getting mollywalloped by Ohio State. Even after Ohio State did the dominating performance against Tennessee, winning 42-17, they beat Oregon 41-21. And honestly, the only reason Ohio State only had 41 points is because they took their foot off the gas. Oregon was never in this game. It was 30+0 before Oregon even got on the board. And I've watched a lot of college sports, and I've forgotten a lot of college sports, but I can't recall a team of Oregon's caliber getting just completely dominated on both sides of the football in a game of this magnitude.
Try not to die.
No, that's right.
Yeah, they came out and just didn't seem ready to play, did they? And I know this fuels the whole thing about, you know, is the bye, did that really, because all four teams that got a bye lost. And Oregon just didn't seem like OSU kind of got into that groove against Tennessee, and you know, by the time Oregon woke up to what was going on, it was way too late in this one. But yeah, I don't know. They should have been. It's not like you hadn't played this team before. It's not like you didn't know, you know, what they brought to the table. That one OSU receiver, sure. I forget what his.
Oh, Justin Jones.
Yeah, he was dominant. He was dominant in that game. And
you know what's crazy? He gets to he has to play again next year. He can't be drafted because he's a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not gonna bode well. But I mean, yeah, all of the. I mean, and so, who would have thought that Texas and Arizona State turns into one of the best games, clearly the best game of the playoffs so far, and one of the best games that I've seen in a long time. And man, that
broken hearted for James Scadamore.
Yeah,
I mean, like, he carried Arizona State on his shoulders, did everything he could to will them to win. And if Arizona State has a wide receiver who can get open, I think they win that football. But their best receiver was out; he was injured, and they just didn't have a guy that can get open. And so when you know Scadabo's going to get the ball, eventually you're going to stop him.
And you can't give up that 4th and 13. You can't give
up. Yeah, that was the game.
That was.
And it was funny because Tony and I were chatting about the game. He's like, oh, there's the ball game. I was like, well, you never know, because it's college football. And when you consider how far, down Arizona State was in that game against Texas, like, that's crazy. And then The other game that surprised me, I wasn't surprised by the winner, but I was surprised with just kind of how Notre Dame, you know, winning by two scores over Georgia, 23-10. Here's the thing about that game that was really interesting. That game shows why a good starting quarterback is essential for any level of football, because Carson Beck was injured in the previous week. Are in the SEC championship game. He gets injured in the SEC championship game. Georgia finds a way to win that one, beats Texas, gets the bye to take on a Notre Dame team who really, when you look at the game closely, like, they won by two scores, but Notre Dame's not particularly special. And I don't believe in Notre Dame at all. Like, I think Penn State's going to beat them. And I think it's
Did they play already this year? I know Notre Dame and Penn State. I mean, they used to play a lot. What I want to ask you about the Notre Dame Georgia game, two things that may have impacted Georgia. The horrific tragedy in New Orleans the night before that, or New Year's Day, the morning of New Year's Day, that caused the game to get postponed. And then what Kirby Smart's dad falls, breaks his hip, undergoes surgery, and unfortunately passes away. You know, all that stuff, I wonder how big of an impact that had. I mean, like what you're saying, not having that starting quarterback, and it's just what 54 seconds determine that game. They score 17 points in 54 seconds, and it's over.
Right, and that was and that was the thing is neither team was particularly impressive offensively. Like if you look at Notre Dame's drives, like none of their offensive drives outside of one that they got as a result of a deep in plus territory as a result of a fumble recovery resulted in any meaningful points or a touchdown. Like they got their touchdown, you know, their big scores on a kick return and turnovers. Like that was the difference in the game.
How big is it?
The new
Big Ten. If it's Penn State, Ohio State.
I think it's huge for the Big Ten. Well, and we'll talk a little conference stuff too. But here's you asked the question about, you know, maybe Kirby Smart's dad and the thing that's happening with him impacts up. But Notre Dame had to go through the same thing that Georgia did with the delay as a result of the terrorist attack in New Orleans. So I don't buy that. You know, yeah, there's probably more local fans from Georgia that were out there because it's a closer drive, it's a shorter drive. But both teams had to get that interruption. Both teams had to deal with that. You know, and Kirby Smart dealing with whatever's going on with his dad, yeah, that may have had something to do with it, sure. But, you know, as I turn the corner and turn the page, the SEC really needs Texas to beat Ohio State because they've been flapping their jaws about how great and deserving their conference was to have four teams in the college football playoff. And Texas is the only team standing, and none of those teams have looked particularly impressive. And if the Big Ten with Ohio State does to Texas what it did to Tennessee, suddenly you're asking a lot of questions about, you know, is the Big Ten the best conference in college football? And if Penn State beats Notre Dame, which I think Penn State has more than Notre Dame, at least offensively, I think that is a very real scenario possibility. And yeah, you bet your ass the Big Ten should be puffing its chest out.
Let's absolutely take this a little bit further. Let's say, for argument's sake, Notre Dame wins it all. Does that, I mean, to get then the pressure on them to join a conference is going to start to grow, and Notre Dame can really set their own price, and they can, you know, really go out and
say, no, we just won a national championship as an independent,
right?
Like, fuck you all,
right? But so, I think it's reasonable that conferences are going to really pay a premium to get them. I mean, they're already affiliated with the ACC for basketball, right? Or is it the Big East? I forget. I think it's the ACC that they're for basketball only. I think they're members of the ACC. I don't remember. But, you know, if they pull this off, and I think you're right, you know, they're going to say, hey, look, we just want it as an independent. We don't want to do this. Oh, wait, how much are you offering us? OK, let's then you get the board of trustees is like, OK, wait a second. You know, we need to think about this.
And on the other hand, their coffers are not hurting. No. Like they don't need the money. Like they won't say no to the money, but they don't need the money. I want to go into one of the other things in a narrative I highly encourage. So the narrative about the bye team losing and whether or not that's bad or good, did it cost them? I tend to side with CBS sports analyst Tom Fornelli. He was assigned. It's funny because I listened to the Cover 3 podcast, which is the CBS podcast. It's I think it's very, very good. I think it's worth a listen if you like college football. But they had that as a topic of discussion after that round of playoffs. And Fornelli was like, CBS is making me write an article about this. I'm going to be very clear. No, the bye did not cost anybody. And he makes a good point. Did you know that all the teams that had a bye, all four of those games, none of them were favored to win their game? So they already weren't favored to win the game. We already knew that the Boise State bye was laughable. We knew that the Arizona State bye was questionable. We called it laughable, but then they proved it not laughable by what they did coming back. And so then suddenly it's like, oh, they're legit. I still think there's a seeding problem.
Yes,
and I think absolutely. There's a who gets the bye game problem that will change. But, you know, all of these teams that lost had flaws in different ways. And, you know, I think that the reason people started questioning the bye is not because Oregon lost, it's because of how badly they lost. They were 2.5-point dogs and they lost by 20. And so people are like, whoa. But, you know, that also doesn't take into account the different team that Ohio State has been since losing to Michigan. And really, it's like these guys over in Columbus are playing for Ryan Day. They're playing hard for Ryan Day. And they are making a statement. And to Chip Kelly's credit, they finally started being like, hey, we've got two pro receivers on our team. We should maybe throw to those guys and make running the football secondary. And once they've done that, it hasn't even been close. They have unlocked the offense because everybody talks about Jones or whatever his name is. Everybody forgets about Emeka Buka. And that kid's going to make, like, that guy's getting drafted this year because he's out. So good on him. Last thing I want to say about bowl season, I do want to talk about the, you know, you brought up the SEC and the SEC in these big time Power Five, Power Four bowls. It's not gone. So you've got Texas and Ole Miss. Ole Miss beat the brakes off of Duke because Lane Kiffin had been very vocal about Ole Miss should be a playoff team. And so they went out and were like, we're going to prove we're a playoff team. Alabama quit. Alabama, if you watch that Alabama-Michigan ReliaQuest Bowl, like, the final score was close, but Alabama wasn't playing. They didn't care. They were done. And then, you know, my Fighting Illini, who were 10-point dogs to South Carolina, and South Carolina was another team that was like, hey, we should be in the playoff. They lost by 4 to Illinois, 21-17. And, you know, there was some, yes, there was controversy. Here's the thing. There were two big controversies that came out of that game. And I, you know, anybody who's not an Illinois fan is going to say that I'm speaking with orange tinted glasses. But the two things that South Carolina took issue with was the way Bielema and Aaron Henry, the defensive coordinator, were subbing defensively. Because the rule is in college football, if the offense subs, the defense has the right to sub personnel to match up. So what South Carolina was doing to their own detriment is they would sub. Illinois would take as much time as possible, kind of they walked a line, but would sub about as late as they possibly could. South Carolina would sub a second time, Dave. They would do this, like they would multiple times, they would sub out once, then sub again. And when you do that, Illinois gets to sub again. So they were putting themselves into distress. And in the final drive where South Carolina had the football, they were facing a fourth down. And Illinois late subbed them again after they subbed out a couple of personnel, gave them a shorter play clock to snap the ball from when the headsets are off and you have to get play called from the sideline. And Illinois brought pressure. Their quarterback, who is going to be a pro, he's going to be a front runner for the Heisman next year. He's going to be a name in the Heisman conversation for next year. But he's not a great pocket passer. He's a great use my legs. And Illinois forced him to stay in the pocket, did an amazing job with contain, and he didn't make the throw. Made a poor throw. Their tight end couldn't haul it in. Illinois never gave the ball back. Got a 60-yard run out of Josh McCray. And like they were the better team. And so crying and moaning about, you know, using the substitution rules the way that they're written as far as you can. Sorry. The other side of it was there was Brett Bielema at one point took umbrage with the way South Carolina ran a kickoff. Illinois kicks the ball away. South Carolina does their receiving guy does a T-bar signal, which is generally regarded as a we're not returning this football signal. It's not a fair catch, but does a general like we're not going to return this. Generally, they don't even field. They just let it go behind them. But the return man catches the football. Illinois lets up. South Carolina players let up like they're all done. Then the return man throws it across the field to their sprinter track star guy. He tries to take it out of the end zone, catch Illinois sleeping. Illinois kicker forced the guy out at 25. And Bielema took umbrage with it, considered a bush league. Later on in the game, one of Illinois' players gets injured near the South Carolina sideline. Bielema goes to check on him because he may have been concussed. sees that his players is okay, gestures towards the sideline with the T-bar signal, letting him know how he felt about that call. That set off young Beamer, Shane Beamer, who started screaming and yelling. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, Brett Bielema was the bad guy. And I was like, whatever, I'm fine with it. But the bowl season isn't exciting. I enjoy it for the pageantry of it. But as a game itself, it's just not what it used to. With all these teams having players opt out or, you know, not being full, kids transferring, because you can announce your intention to transfer well before the bowl game starts. A lot of these rosters are watered down. Minnesota played Virginia Tech, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and like the entire starting secondary for Virginia Tech opted out of the game. Like, and Minnesota, you know, those kids didn't. And so it was, you know, starters playing backups and walk-on. Of course that game was a rout. Of course it wasn't interesting. But I don't know. I'm happy. Illinois is still trying to establish itself as a legitimate team. They've gone a long way in doing that. I hope that these next two call. I think the Texas-Ohio State game has potential to be good. I think the Notre Dame-Penn State game is going to be a rock fight. But I do think that the winner of the Texas-Ohio State game should be the favorite to win the national championship, because I don't think that either Penn State or Notre Dame have the firepower offensively to match up with either Quinn Ewers or Will Riley and the Ohio State Buckeyes or the Texas Longhorns. So,
yeah, it's going to take a defensive showing by Notre Dame or Penn State to beat either of those teams.
And both of them have elite defenses.
They do.
Like, without question.
They do. And defense wins champ. But that's a great thing about it. It's pro football, college football, especially now that we got this big playoff. It's like, it's one game, you know, and like you saw with Oregon, they got off to a bad start and it was just like a snowball going downhill. It just kept going on them and they never got out from it.
Ohio State kicked them in the nuts and then stepped on their throat and never got up. So, all right, we're going to take a commercial break and we're going to talk some more Alex Ovechkin and a little bit of hockey before we get on out of there. So stay tuned. We will be right back. You are listening to Hockey Talk here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, into the as still named Hockey Talk here on the ChairShot Radio Network and part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Be sure to head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/the ChairShot for all of your ChairShot swag needs. We got some great stuff out there. We talked a lot of college sports, college football in the first half of this show. We're coming up against it for time, Dave, but we got a good 15 minutes before we need to get out of here. Let's talk a little bit of hockey, and let's start with your boy, Alex Ovechkin, scoring another goal, taking part in the, it's now named, by the way, it's called the Great Chase, spelled GR numeral 8 Chase. Ovi scores his 872nd career goal, which was also the deciding goal in a 7-4 victory over the struggling New York Rangers. And, He also, in addition to getting his goal and jumping on that chase, he improved his career total points to, 1,580. And that moved him past moved him past Ray Bourque for 12th place on the NHL's all-time points list. So he's still doing that. He is the second fastest player aged 39 or older to get to 30 points in the season, behind only Gordie Howe, who only took 19 games at age 40 to get to 30 points in a season. Ovi did it in 23. It's his 19th goal of the season. He's producing a 0.83 goals per game rate. And remember, everybody, he missed significant time being injured. And so at this clip, it is currently the highest in a single season in his career, and ahead of his 65-goal campaign in 07-08 when he was scoring at a 0.79 goals per game clip. He is on pace to become the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer on March 13th against the Los Angeles Kings.
In L.A.?
Fred, I do not see that in this article.
If that's in L.A., I might have to go to that one.
Right. And it's a franchise where he's collected 12 goals and 11 assists for a total of 23 points in 27 games against. So he has had good fortune. This is insane. His 0.83 goals per game is already the highest in a single season by a player aged 39 or older, minimum of 20 games. Only two others have posted an average of 0.5 or higher in that scenario. One, Gordie Howe, who we just talked about, and Timu Solani in 09-10. I'm just going to say he's going to do it. He's going to do it this season. I'm out here on January 5th, 2025, 1:47 p.m., so on Tuesday, when you all listen to it, that's what I'm saying, is Patrick Radon is finally on board to say he's going to do it this season.
Yeah, if he hadn't got hurt, it'd be done. It might be done already.
I don't know if it'd be done already, but it would be without question.
He'd be within 10 by now if he hadn't got hurt.
To me.
Yeah, at his age. But I mean, it's like we've been saying for weeks, and now the Caps, I'm looking at the standings, 4 points clear of New Jersey. And yeah, they laid a clunker against Detroit last week, and it's going to happen. But, you know, they come back, and what do? They beat Boston, you know, they beat the Rangers. They do what they're supposed to do. Their offense is almost damn near lethal right now. And, you know, you add him to the mix, and you know, like the goal he scored yesterday was just a great move off of a face-off draw that the Rangers actually won the draw, and he just puts it under quick. He's getting into these dirty areas. He's still got that lethal slap shot that nobody wants to see coming at them. But like we've been saying, this Capitals team is just, they're more balanced than they've been in a long time. And this is right now.
Gets to be the Wiley veteran.
Yeah, he gets to be the Wiley veteran. They got all these other guys who are contributing up and down the lineup. This team, honestly, is more dangerous right now than the 2018 team that won the Cup. Now, that's not to say that they won't completely flame out in the playoffs. But, Ovi's 22 goals.
Dave, you just had to Dave Ungar your positivity, man.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't won a playoff series since they won the Cup. So I'm until it happens, I'm going to be cautious.
I know, but that is just the most David Ungar response ever. They're playing amazing, but
I mean, like yesterday, like watching that game though, like the first 10 minutes, the Rangers just dominated. I mean, like it was like, did you guys like not realize you had a game to go? But the problem is, the Rangers have all this talent, but they have no leadership. Cause like, and the guys were commenting on the announcers I was watching yesterday, commenting that the Rangers don't have, like, they're talking about, they don't have like anybody who's stepping forward to really grab this team by the ass and say, hey, look, we need to get it together. Right. And you saw that, like, okay, they got an early goal. Cause Logan Thompson made a terrible clearing pass right to a Ranger guy who put it in the net. But after that, there's no defensive presence with the Rangers. Shesterkin is on IR now. So
yep.
That's not going to help. This team is going nowhere. You know,
this is the most, I think this team is easily the most disappointing team of 2024-2025.
Well, I mean, both New York teams, question, like, the Rangers and the Islanders, and you look at those teams.
But I believed in the Rangers. Yes. I believed in the Rangers.
But now you're at the point where, okay, trade deadline's coming up. Those two teams have some tough decisions to make.
They're going to have to be sellers.
This season's over. I mean, you're talking, they're 20 points behind Washington right now. You're not going to catch them. And that sort of thing. Right. So it's like, yeah, both these teams have to look at this and say, you know, I hear stuff like Zibanejad has caught a lot of blame for the Rangers' problems. Chris Kreider's caught a lot of blame for the Rangers' problems.
Yes, like, it's those guys. Yeah, yeah, totally. Not the coaching, not the front office, not getting them offensive power fire at all. Hey, quick score update. UMass and Richmond now at halftime. Richmond, do you remember how many points UMass had in the first half, first quarter?
Eight. Now they got 16.
It's 29-8. No, they got 15. Ooh. It is 44-15 after two. I don't know how good Richmond is, but damn, are my UMass women bad. Yeah, just bad.
That's rough.
Okay. I got one more thing I want to talk about before we get out of here. On Friday, January 3rd, the International Ice Hockey Federation announced its Hall of Fame class 2025. And there were a few notable names on there, some folks I wanted to comment about. Out of the NHL, we got David Vinborny, Franz Nielsen, Zdeno Chara, and Henrik Lundqvist getting the call to the hall. They will be joined by Kai Haitarinta from Finland in the builders category, along with female players Kim Martin Hassan of Sweden and Vicky Sunahara of Canada. So, speaking of New York Rangers, Lundqvist, 15-year career with the Rangers, led them to a 2014 Stanley Cup final. He's a native of Sweden and had 459 wins with the Rangers, the most ever by a European goalie. I can't imagine you enjoyed seeing Lundqvist behind the pipes. Between the pipes.
He was not one of my favorites.
No.
I mean, like that one year he was going to play for the Caps, and then he had the heart condition and that wiped him out. But no, he was, Lundqvist is right up there with, I'm not going to compare him to Crosby, but yeah, he was not the guy that I really wanted to see behind the pipes at any time.
Yeah. I have to talk about Zdeno Chara. Because at the time that I last saw Zdeno Chara play was in the 2019 Stanley Cup Finals, when my beloved St. Louis Blues beat his Boston Bruins, and that guy was playing with a busted face. And say what you will about a guy, and Zdeno Chara was a hell of a player, and there was speculation that he was going to be retiring after that 2019 season. He ended up playing until 2022. He was a tough son of a bitch. He, like I said, playing with a broken jaw in a Stanley Cup final, which I'm not saying that other hockey players don't do that, but damned if I didn't. He was one of the most frustrating players to watch play. And he just always in the right place. He was always laying big hits on people. He was terrific and a deserving member of the International Ice Hockey. I know he'll be in the NHL Hall of Fame if he's not already. I don't even know. If he's not, he will be. But great to see him get the international honor as well.
Yeah, Chara, I know he played for the Caps one year after he left Boston. Yeah. And he was, you just don't see defensemen who are that tall, that big, and who can actually skate and move. He didn't need to fight, because what are you going to do against him? He's just way bigger and taller than you, and just going to throw you around. So, he's probably underrated, I would say, as a defender at this point in time. Because, I mean, he was the anchor. He was the captain of the Bruins. You know, you look at Boston, and what are they missing? A guy like Zdeno Chara, you know, that sort of thing. So,
yep.
Hey, score up, Patrick. Your Bears are beating the Packers 14-3, buddy.
Don't worry, they're gonna blow it in the second half. Like, this is Oh, by the way, did you know I'm in the Hockey Hall of Fame, the NHL Hall of Fame?
You are?
I am. 2016.
For what?
Matt Quinn. I'm a coach.
I got you.
It's coach.
I got you. No, meanwhile, the Commanders have decided not to shoot theirs.
Oh, you know, you're always such a sad panda. Zdeno Chara not currently in the Hockey Hall of Fame that I can see. Okay, so this is coaches. So this is builders. The builder category has been in existence since, so let's see. Let's back up here. He's also only been out of the game for two seasons, so he may not qualify yet. You know what I mean? Like Jeremy Roenick just got in 2024. So, like, it's not like, Lundqvist got in 2023, and he's been retired for quite a bit. So I think it'll happen. It just hasn't happened yet. Jerome McGinley. Sorry, just looking at members of the Hall of Fame. Anyway, but congrats to Lundqvist. Congrats to Char. Congrats to everybody named to the class 2025 of the International Ice Hockey Hall of Fame. All every bit as worthy an honor as the NHL Hall of Fame, as that's looking at a global score. Dave, we have come to the end of the program. Talked a little hockey. We talked about your boy Ovi, who is going to break Gretzky's record. Saying it again, he is going to break the goals record this season, barring a second injury. At the pace that he's at right now, you should check on that LA Kings game.
Yeah, and see you're talking 42 goals this year. He's at 19 right now. Yeah, that's easy. That's
right now. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane the way he's playing. So,
I gotta look at that because I gotta figure they're gonna be on a West Coast trip either to LA or Anaheim, And hey, we go watch him break Gretzky's record, hit Disneyland. It's gonna be a hell of a weekend.
It'd be a heck of a weekend. All right, and we're gonna wrap up our heck of a weekend by going once around and telling everybody where they can find us. So, tell everybody where they can find you out there on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network.
Yeah, on X and Blue Sky, it's at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. And yeah, that's where you can check me out.
And you can find me on most socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Should be back doing three shows this week, doing a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday show with one Gregory DeMarco on Wednesday with the Greg DeMarco show. Gregory, but Monday's talking Gregory, dirty stuff.
Wow, we're getting serious. Call him the full name now.
We're calling him by his government name because he hasn't been around. No, here's the thing. I don't blame him. My family was hosting New Year's Eve for this, like New Year's Eve on a Tuesday. We weren't going to record on New Year's Eve. Come on. Christmas Eve, we weren't going to record on Tuesday. Christmas Eve, come on. Same thing next year. We're probably not going to record on New Year's Day or Christmas Day. Like, why would we do that? What we will do, and I also, like, his son, the little DeMarco, was coming home for the first time from college. Can't blame a guy. Like, these shows, like, we get a lot of flack for the bad shows we don't record. I feel like these two are justified, so... I disagree with those that would call us lazy. It's probably Tony's fault. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week's edition of what is still currently called Hockey Talk. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you next week. For David Ungar, this is Patrick O'Dowd wishing you a happy Tuesday. You've been listening to Hockey Talk on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.